Off the Ball Rugby.
I picked Sam Prendergast.
Would you?
Yeah. That's not to take anything away from Mac Hansen and James Lowe. They're wonderful players. They're incredible footballers. You know, so there's still a very good team there.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome to Friday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. On the way, a General Assembly of the FAI votes in favour of summer football for all of the Irish football pyramid. Defending set pieces once again haunts Tottenham, and Kylian Mbappe is dragging his former club PSG in front of the French football authorities. First up today, a League of Ireland player has been hit with a six-month ban for betting offences, according to the Irish Independent. It's believed a statement is due from the FAI later on confirming a sanction for an individual that played with a First Division club in the 2024 season. Rules around betting have been tightened on a global level in recent years, with players not allowed to place bets on football at any level, and it's believed this case relates to bets placed on matches at home and abroad. FAI President Paul Cook hailed last night's General Assembly as a really significant day in Irish football. A vote to align the football calendar saw a 57% majority take the association's view that the Irish football pyramid become aligned following a four-year phased introduction. Essentially, summer football is being introduced across the board with seasons to run from February to November. Age grades of 5 to 12 years will switch in 2026, with 13 to 16-year-olds moving the year after, and everyone else will switch by 2028. Speaking after the vote last night, FAI Chief Football Officer Mark Hannam said the vote is a vote for change and a vote for progress, and a result Irish football can be proud of across our game. On last night's Off the Ball, Nathan put the calendar alignment in context.
But the one thing when you talk to people over the last 24, 48 hours is, and maybe this is where the aligned calendar does make total sense, is that every county, and even within the GDSL, they all, different age groups have different systems, different times of the year, different league setups, that it's impossible to get your head around something that could bring it all together. And they're not all because of unique circumstances, they're just historical reasons that the season starts at certain times. Some have a great relationship with the GAA in their county and they can play summer soccer because they play on a Tuesday and the GAA play on a Wednesday and they have their training. Other counties don't have that sort of relationship, never feel like they're going to have that relationship with the different codes. But I think at the end of this, and the point I made last night, everything we've heard from the FAI is that they will give leagues some sort of wiggle room, that if there are parts of the year where you definitely cannot play games because the numbers just aren't there, well, let's work around that in some way. And I think that wiggle room that maybe wasn't there initially when they proposed this back in February, I think that's probably what'll see it through.
To listen to that chat with the DDSL representatives that Nathan mentioned there, you can check the OTB football feed by becoming an Off the Ball member if you're not already.
What's going on through your mind right now?
As flies to wanton boys, we are for the gods. They kill us for the sport. Soon the science will not only be able to slow down the aging of the cells, soon the science will fix the cells to the state. And so we become eternal. Only accidents, crimes, wars will still kill us. But unfortunately, crimes and wars will multiply. I love football.
Ange Postecoglou says he received some direct feedback from the travelling Tottenham fans after their sixth league defeat of the season. Yet again, a corner was Spurs' undoing, with Dean Howson heading past Fraser Forster to give Bournemouth a 1-0 win in the Premier League at the Vitality Stadium. After the full-time whistle, Postecoglou was seen approaching the booing travelling support and he exchanged a few words. Defeat leaves Spurs 10th in the table, 6 points off the top four, with Bournemouth a point and a place better off. Postecoglou explained his confrontation after the defeat.
Yeah, I guess so. I got no issue with it. Like I said, didn't like what was being said because I'm a human being, but you know, you've got to cop it. And I've been around long enough to know that when things don't go well, that, you know, you've got to understand the frustration, the disappointment. And they're rightly disappointed tonight because, you know, again, we've let a game of football get away from us. But that's okay. I'm okay with all that.
The Spurs boss was again asked to explain their inconsistency.
We just don't have this kind of real understanding of game state to know that, you know, just because we've started a game of football well, to not allow the opposition, you know, the opportunity to then sort of turn the tide and play the game on their terms. And, you know, I think, you know, we've come from behind often and, you know, it's something that kind of we've done really well. But you can't, especially in it, like I said, a place like Bournemouth where it's going to be tough anyway with the conditions, you can't give them a goal like we did tonight. Because then you're just going to be, you know, you're going to have to work doubly hard to create opportunities. They're going to get more opportunities because we're going to have to open up, and it turns into a game that is almost impossible then for us to control.
Almost a year to the day since his only ever career brace, Alex Iwobi repeated the trick last night. He scored in each half of Fulham's 3-1 win over Brighton at Craven Cottage. That was Fulham's first win in three and saw them return to sixth in the table. Marco Silva was full of praise for Iwobi.
It's not just tonight, because last season was, I consider, until last season, the best season from him in Premier League so far. And I, as you know, I know him really well. I took him from Arsenal to Everton. Of course, I had the chance to take him again for Fulham Football Club. And I didn't hesitate one second when I felt that I had the chance to have him with us again. Last season was good. He came late, just in the end of August, last day of the market, really. He had 1 month and a half almost in the African Cup as well. But even so, I consider last season a very good season from him. But from the first day of the pre-season, I didn't have any doubts that it's going to be his best season, with a big difference to the others. We felt, all of us, we felt. I said that during the pre-season. Two months ago, I was saying the same. As you said, versatile player that I can use in many different ways. Really talent player, quality player. He's taking much more the responsibility, scoring goals like he should have scored previous in his career. Now he's scoring much more, arriving in the right spots, much more confident in that moment too, and it's so important for us. Tonight, he played in a slightly different position. I know that he's capable to do, but he's not training there every single day, you know. He did train the last 2 days there, but it's not the same that if you create routines there. Because in the defensive moment, he was in the side of Sanderberg and he's not being there so far. Last season, he played some moments there, and he needs more routines there, more to work more there. It was more difficult for him off the ball, but on the ball was top. There on the right-hand side as our pocket player, after on the left-hand side as a pocket player, and after as a wide player on the left-hand side. Top performance for him with 2 goals, and he's being incredible. It's what a player is being for us, and he deserves, because he's really in a happy place. He's a really positive guy. He's a top professional, and we... When you are so positive, you bring a good energy to you and to the team as well. And Alex is bringing everything good for us.
Shamrock Rovers look set to lose Johnny Kenny back to Celtic once the league phase of the Conference League is complete. The striker has scored 5 goals in Europe for Rovers this season while on loan from the Scottish champions, and has found the net in each of the last 3 Conference League outings. Rovers had been hopeful of extending Kenny's loan into next season or even making the deal permanent. However, the Mail reports that Celtic boss Brendan Rodgers has been impressed by Kenny's displays in Europe and wants him as backup to Kyogo Furuhashi and Adam Ida. Kenny's contract with Celtic runs until the summer of 2026. Rovers still have European games in the league phase against Borats and Chelsea, and that could be Kenny's last involvement for Stephen Bradley's side. Dundalk have been granted a licence to compete in the SSE Airtricity Men's First Division for 2025 and confirmed they won't be entering the SCARP process, which means the Louth club will avoid a points deduction for next season. Dundalk were given a week's extension to meet the criteria to secure a licence. They're the last of the 10 Premier Division and 10 First Division clubs to secure their playing rights for next year. And Kylian Mbappe has reported his former club PSG to the French football governing body. Now at Real Madrid, Mbappe claims he's owed €55 million in unpaid wages and bonuses by PSG. Mbappe's lawyers are to meet with PSG representatives on Wednesday of next week. While the LFP doesn't have the authority to force PSG to pay Mbappe the €55 million, if they find in his favour, they could still impose sanctions such as a transfer ban on the French champions.